About a week ago, we had a lunch together, and you know, there's these words that he uses that we don't use, like, I'll call you tomorrow. Well, they don't say that. I'll ring you up, you know. I like those little things that come out of his mouth. It's very attractive, like I said last week. Amen. So would you get ready for the Word of God this morning? Amen.
Amen. Praise God. It's certainly a blessing to be in this place. I'd like to ask the congregation a question this morning. When a great oratory or musical thing is being played, I'd like to ask you, what do you applaud? The instrument or the player? Do I have a witness? No answers? The player. Amen. I'm an instrument. God is the player. He's the one we should applaud. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. I shared this with Brother Poitras, and he said, oh, Brother Van Kuy, can I use it? I said, yes. So when you hear it from him, it's not plagiarism. He's fine. I've given him permission. Amen. Praise God. You may be seated. As I said, it's certainly a blessing to be here. This is the first time that I've opened my mouth in a congregation in America. I've been here many times, and the times that I've been here have been to do with our mission enterprises that we've been involved in. And that's certainly a blessing. The man that was in charge of me was Brother Harry Sism. I'd ring him from Australia, I said, Brother Sism, we've got too much money. And I don't know whether most of you know Brother Sism or how he speaks. He said, Brother Van der Kooi, that's a good problem. So he'd give us another project to work on. And this has been a wonderful blessing to us for 35 odd years that we were able to do a work for the mission scene. I guess all you guys need to know a little bit about me. Well, I was born at a very early age. I was born in the Netherlands, in the province of Friesland, during the middle of the Second World War. My mother tells me, because I couldn't remember myself, that I was out playing in the street near the canal when there was a dogfight overhead with shells flying all over the place. And my mother rushed out, she freaked out, to grab me and drag me inside. One point where God delivered me from death, and I praise God for it. Amen. So we were then involved in a church that is called the Vrije Evangelische Kerk. Now that's something you don't understand. It means the Free Gospel Church. Now, we had a great balcony that came right over the congregation, and I don't know whether you've seen photographs of some of these ornate pulpits that they have. There's a staircase going up. It goes about halfway up the building so that the top floor can see and the bottom floor can see as well. So the preacher used to sit up there. And below that, when you see the balcony come out and you looked over the edge of the balcony, all the elders and deacons would be sitting along. And I don't know why they needed so many elders or deacons, but there was a whole row of them. So as little children, and as little children do, mum and dad normally feed us candy just to keep us quiet. Well, those candies have wrappers. We used to call those characters Karlekesen. Now, what that means is bald cheeses sitting down below. So what happens to the wrappers? One day, big loud voice which interpreted means, I got him, Dad. And as Dad peeks over the top of the balcony, he saw a face, not a bald head, looking up. So his righteous indignation was more than kindled. It was well set alight. Amen. So I got into a lot of trouble. But children will be children, I guess. And that was the beginnings of my Christian experience. Then they imported me into Australia. And I grew up in the Salvation Army. My parents then forgot God. And this happens to a lot of migrant people. When they come into a country, it may not happen here, but in Australia it was certainly that way, that people decided to work and gain finances and establish themselves, and they forget God. And that, of course, is the wrong principle. Well, my brother and I went across to the Salvation Army. My aunt in the Netherlands was a Salvation Army major, so we gravitated to the Salvation Army. And that was my repentance. I repented in the Salvation Army. You know, number one scene within the Salvation Army is repentance. And that was a blessing to me. But the problem was, it's not the truth. Because everything was dedicated under the blood and the fire, which is a flag that they use. Communion is just the opening of the Word of God. That was their communion. And everything else was pertaining under the flag. I grew up through that system, from Sunday school to junior soldier to bandsman, and that was a blessing. And it was a problem because I bought a motorcycle. Who here rides a motorcycle? Okay. Well, if you rode a motorcycle back then, you wouldn't be classified a very nice person. You would be one of the Hell's Angels. No matter what you were like. Well, they treated me like a Hell's Angel. And that was a great shame to me. But I'm thankful that I was able to move out from that scene, and they had a tent campaign from the Churches of Christ. And I gave my heart to God there. You could imagine at the Church of Christ, a guy that was then in rebellion, I guess, against God, black boots, gloves stuck in boots, black jeans, a Marlon Brando leather jacket and a black handle under the arm, going into a tent campaign. You know, even though I rebelled for that period against God, the lads that I was riding with called me the Marlon Minister, hence from my jacket, Marlon Brando jacket. So God always had his hand on me, which I appreciated very much. And from the Churches of Christ, we had an American gentleman came round to our house, and he was going to show some slides on America. We were involved, my girlfriend and I at the time, were involved in a thing called Teen Ranch. Doug, Don, and the King's Men. It was a quartet, and they set up a camp-type system, the same as what you have on your holiday camps here. And it was done on a very Western-type scale. My father-in-law was a journalist, and through him, we then became part of that scene to a lesser extent. He was the journalist for the organization. He did all their productions and pamphlets and everything else. So when we heard about Brother Brian coming around and showing some slides, we were in. Yes, we'll go and have a look at these American slides, because we were very oriented towards the American scene. Well, it wasn't just the slides he was after. He was interested in our souls, and I certainly thank God for that. And we started going to the services, and we had great entertainment. The guy that was leading the singing would lead the singing this way. Not by conducting, but he'd be up there twisting. And we thought this was fun, you know, and we had a good time. But you see, God got a hold of our hearts. And my friend at work was very concerned about me getting involved in Pentecost, because we've got horns, you know. And he had me go and see the Reverend Pope. So, saints, I've been to see the Pope. When we went to see him, he sat us down and he gave us an example of a young couple that got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues, and they could turn it on and off like a tap. His answer to them was, drop it like a hot potato. So I asked him one question. I said, what does the Word of God say? He showed us the door. He got mad. So then we went around to Brother Brian's house. Brother Brian, this and this has happened. He said, come on in, Brother Tom. Put his arm around me, took me inside, took me from Genesis to Revelation, showing me the signposts. So what do you think I decided? It was a no-brainer. It's quite automatic that you believe the Word of God, because this is where the truth is. There is no other word that is the truth. That Baptist minister, I'd hate to be in his position when he reaches the kingdom of God, if he does. I'd hate to be in his position. But I thank the American church for sending missionaries to Australia. It has been a blessing, especially for me. The first missionary to Australia was Brother Bogue. Now, when we first were invited to go to the conference, this was quite an interesting scene. We thought, my goodness, what have we got into here? You see, after the meeting, my then girlfriend, we weren't married. You might say, well, what's that got to do with the conference? Well, I'll tell you. Brother Brian was at the front of the church. Brother Bogue was at the back of the church with us. He said, come and I'll show you your room, singular. And Brother Brian heard, and from the front of the church, he's running. No, 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 they're not married yet. So that was our first experience at a conference. So we found that quite humorous, but God got a hold of our hearts and we gave our lives totally to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We were baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of our sins. In the middle of winter, in an ocean pool, with the waves crashing over the top in the rain. You know, we never felt cold. And I praise God for that. Amen. Praise God. So, from then on, God mightily blessed us. He led us into an enterprise that was involved in raising funds for missions. God gave me a vision. We ran with it. God blessed it. Amen. Now, I'm not trying to promote myself because I am an instrument. It's God that manages the instrument, that plays the instrument. So we were able to raise millions of dollars. Now I'm talking about millions, I'm not exaggerating, for the mission field. We were involved in Burma. We built a Bible school in Burma, training center in the Chin Hills, and a center in Mandalay. Not many people see the results of their labors in their lifetime. We have been mightily blessed to see results that stagger the mind. In Australia, we have two Burmese ministers. One's running around 300, the other one's running around 500 converts. When I get a bit down, I go and get a kid fix. Amen. I sit in the service, not that I can understand anything, but I feel the Spirit of God move. Amen. And that's a blessing to me. Amen. And that's only two of the ministers. In Burma, there's another fellow that I'd come across. He's a pastor, also a graduate of the Bible school. And he's also running a church of around 500. That's a blessing, saints. It's a blessing. And I am so thrilled that we were able to be part of it. And that's only one area. We were involved in Fiji. We were involved in Vanuatu. I don't know how many of you know Brother Sherry, Brother Lee Sherry. But he has been a very close friend to us. We've sat under his ministry for quite a long time in WA and then also in Vanuatu. And this has been a wonderful blessing to us that we're able to rub shoulders with these great men of God. I consider Brother Brian my spiritual father. He's American. I thank again the American church for sending missionaries. I thank this church for supporting missionaries. I thank this church for sending Debbie Jenkins to Australia, where we first met her. And just to share something on that score with you, when my wife was dying, it was only Debbie Jenkins that gave us any sort of support whatsoever. That's right, the only one. She was there at my wife's deathbed. She was also there and supported us, or supported me when I was grieving. And that's a blessing. And I thank God, again, for this church and the support you've given to Sister Debbie and the support that she was to me. And it is a blessing to me. And I'm thankful for all these things that God has enabled to happen on our behalf. And I'm thankful that she has said yes to me. Amen. So that's enough about me. Amen. I'd like to turn in your Bibles to 1 Samuel. And I'd like Brother Bear to just ask a blessing on the word today, please. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, grant it, Lord. Amen. Reading from verse 1 through to 15 from chapter 3. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time, when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see, and ere the lamp of God went out of the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel, and he said, Here am I. And he ran to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou callest me. And he said, I called not. Lie down again. And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again, Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I called not, my son. Lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, Go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place, and the Lord came and stood and called, as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, Speak, for thy servant heareth. And the Lord said to Samuel, Behold, I will do a thing in Israel, at which both the ears of every one that heareth it shall tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house when I began. I will also make an end, for I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offerings forever. And Samuel lay down until the morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. May God add blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated. Now the Lord was precious in those days. It was rare for the Lord to speak to the people. There was many years of silence. God spoke to Samuel, which was very unusual, seeing that God didn't speak to people very much. Samuel, of course, made an immediate response, thinking that the voice was Eli's. And that's reasonable, because there was no open vision, as the Bible teaches. Messages from God, prophecy, revelation, etc., were not happening on a large scale at all. There was no public recognition or revelation of God's will. So how did this affect the people of God in Israel? Their knowledge of God would have certainly been rather hazy. When the temple is going downhill as far as the worship is concerned, people then are not respectful of it. And therefore, they can do anything basically that they like, as we saw with the sons of Eli. Because they were in charge of the temple in those days. Now, Eli was rather dull in his discernment. He hadn't been able to tell the difference between Hannah. He thought she was drunk when she was seeking after God. And sometimes we can have the wrong slant on things. Our discernment might not be quite correct. But we need to look unto God, the author and finisher of our faith. But Eli just assumed that this godly lady was drunk. Now the sons of Eli were certainly immoral. They were not interested in the things of God, yet they were supposed to keep the house of God, and didn't. They were involved in so much immorality and impurity. And that brought sin into the temple. We cannot have sin within the Church of Jesus Christ. Amen. If we have sin within the Church of Jesus Christ, we may as well close the doors. We cannot condone sin in the Church of Jesus Christ. Amen. It is not something that we can do. I'm thankful for this church. What I have seen here has been a mighty blessing to me, how the saints support one another, and how the love of God is certainly shown by you towards everyone that's here and towards me as well. And that to me is a great blessing. I have not seen the like of it. As I mentioned before, Sister Debbie Jenkins was the only one that we had dealings with in Australia. That doesn't mean she was the only church, running the only church. She wasn't. There were other churches. The only contact that I received was from my friend, the Reverend John Downs, and his wife. I would get a phone call, and at times I would get a call from the Canberra church, some of the friends that I had there. Now, this is very sad, saints, that there's no backup within the body of Jesus Christ. We need to be involved in backing up one another. We need to love one another fervently. And I'm thankful that this is what's going on in this place. I'm thankful for the saints of God here. Praise God. Now, God had to step and deal in with this sinful situation within the temple. This could not go on, because the children of Israel would have gone downhill fast. Hannah, who had prayed fervently for a child, was now offering this little child back to God. God had given her the desires of her heart, and now she gave back to what she had promised. And this was just in time. You know, God works things out just in time. Amen. Just in time. And I'm thankful for that. You know, when he comes back again, it'll be just in time. Amen. Doesn't matter what Obama says. Doesn't matter what Obama does. Doesn't matter what the rest of the world does. Amen. It'll be just in time. Amen. Amen. He was looking for a consecrated life, and that he certainly found in Samuel. Amen. So God gave to Hannah, and Hannah gave back to God, while the old dim-eyed priest slept and the lamp in the temple was burning very, very low. But the lamp had not gone out. Praise God. The lad Samuel was lying in bed, keeping a night vigil. The sons of Eli, whose responsibility it was to keep the temple and look after the lighting of the lamps, etc., were out a-whoring. They were indulging in their sinful life. So it wasn't just dark in the temple. The darkness hung over the whole of Israel. We see this happening today. There's a dark cloud hanging over this world today. It's called sin. And the church is just a small voice in the wilderness, as it were, crying out. Yes, we can stand against a lot of these things, but God will return just in time to redeem us out of this scene. And I thank God for that. Amen. This child, Samuel, was the hope of a new day. He was raising up a new voice. So God raised up the prophet Samuel. And I thank God for the wonderful blessing. And in verse 20 it says, "And all of Israel, from Dan even to Bathsheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord." And so we heralded in a whole new ball game for Israel. Amen. Things started to turn around. And once again, the children of Israel could know and see God and hear his word and know his will and follow his ways. Amen. It took a consecrated life. Amen. Amen. One given wholly. Not partially, but wholly unto God. Amen. Which the Bible teaches is our reasonable service. We become bond slaves unto our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And a bond slave is one who decides to stay with the master after the liberation of the slaves, the year of Jubilee. And this is amazing that they'd have to give up their slaves. And yet some chose to stay because of the love they had for the master. We need to have that love for our master. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus, that we become bond slaves for him. Amen. Samuel brought a vision again unto the children of Israel. We need a vision. The Bible teaches us that without a vision, the people perish. God can give you a vision. Amen. He gave me a vision. And God is no respecter of persons. Amen. We are now looking. Debbie and I are now looking for a vision. We need to follow after God. We're starting out on a new adventure. And we need to do it in God, and we need to follow after the vision. Amen. As far as Samuel was concerned, it took a vision of his mother in recognizing that this child she had prayed for was a gift from God. Amen. Therefore, she would return him to God to bring vision to the nation. We as individuals can do a lot. Some years ago, we were asked to come and share our vision with the Ladies Auxiliary because they felt that the Ladies Auxiliary in the United States might be able to do the same sort of things that we were doing in Australia. In Australia, we had a small church. It wasn't big. We ran between 20 and 30. We had a large Sunday school. And that's the future, I guess, of the church. We ran two buses collecting children. And this was a blessing. But things started to go wrong as far as the church was concerned. Brother Schism had told me to concentrate on the fundraising, and I didn't obey. I decided to carry on with the church as well. And he said, "Tom, you'll burn yourself out." Well, God took care of the church. A lot of people moved away. My assistant pastor fell into sin. So the church basically disintegrated, so much so that my assistant pastor went round all the Sunday school people and advised them not to come. So we took the buses out again. No children. I say to say this, that man committed the most horrific satanic suicide that the police had ever seen. You see, his father was caught up in the occult. His grandfather was caught up in the occult. When he was online with God, he had those eyes. But oh, when he allowed his father to buy him, and I'm saying buy him with goods, God had given him his last chance of survival in God. God spoke to him audibly, like God spoke to Samuel. And he said, "God, I will serve you for the rest of my days if you get me out of this car wreck." He was trapped in his car after he smashed down the side of a mountain. And this is so sad that he was given a final warning and a final chance, and then he allowed himself to be bought by Satan. Oh, that God would keep his hand on the congregations and on the people that are leaders, that they will not be caught up in the trap of Satan. You know, Satan's devices are real, and he's out to destroy us. He really is. And I can share with you the number of times that Satan has tried to kill me, and I'm not exaggerating. An overturned truck right behind a bus. You know, I believe an angel visited us. That compulsion got so strong to overtake that bus on double lines, I could not resist. You do not overtake on a blind corner on a double line. It's just not done. But as we cleared the front of the bus, a runaway truck loaded with copper scrap rolled over right behind the bus where we were sitting. God's provision. Ever been visited by an angel? I have. He had a word for us. You need fellowship. That was it. We were out doing a work for God in a very lonely area. On our own, we had one convert. And that was it. And an angel came to us, came up in a car. And we don't know how he went. He said, "I have a message from you from God. You need fellowship. You're blessed here. You have fellowship." We didn't. And we went and got fellowship. We moved out of that area. We obeyed the call of God to move out. You see, this church cannot survive without fellowship. It is impossible. We cannot survive unless there are others in fellowship with us. It encourages the ministry. It encourages the saints. It encourages all of us that want to serve him in spirit and in truth. And this is a mighty blessing, praise God. There's a verse in Proverbs that I'd like to read. Just one verse. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. I'd like to concentrate on that first bit. Where there is no vision, the people perish. We need to have a vision. I've seen this church have a vision. Otherwise, you wouldn't have this building. You wouldn't have had the extension on this building. And I praise God for it, that the vision is here. Amen. But the church in general needs a vision. We need a vision. Where there is no knowledge of God, no revelation and no teaching on his ways, no desire to do his will, and the people perish. The Living Bible says, where there is ignorance of God, the people run wild. I'm sorry to say that this is happening in the United States. It's certainly well and truly strong in Australia. People don't care about God. You have the forefathers that has given this country a spiritual atmosphere. In Australia, we don't have that. We're based on a criminal base, and that has an effect right across the nation. You need to pray for Australia. There's not much vision going on in our land. There's not a great deal of fellowship going on in our land. There's not much harmony going on in our land. There's lots of ministers sitting on their seats doing nothing. This ought not to be so. Amen. If you're a minister of the gospel, you need to get off your seat and get mobile for God. Why isn't the Church of God growing in Australia? Because they're not getting mobile in Jesus Christ. The growth that we have is amongst the Burmese, as I mentioned before. This is where the growth is today in the church, from the refugees that are arriving in Australia amongst the Burmese. We're gaining a lot of Burmese into the church. They've just recently opened a church in Western Australia, a Burmese, again, a Chin Burmese church. And that's a blessing. Don't know what the pastor is or who he is. But this is a blessing to me that this can be. You need to pray for Australia. Amen. Hopefully God has got some work for us to do on that score. We're looking for the vision, saints. Amen. And we want the vision. Amen. And I believe that Debbie, she received a message from God that we were going to do a work. And this is a blessing. But I need a message from God. Amen. I need a vision. Amen. You need to pray for me. Amen. I need that vision. Amen. And I thank God for everything that he's done in my life to this point. And I want to serve him more and more. See, I don't want to miss out on the kingdom of God. I've come too far. I was only 18 when we made a decision for God. I was only 18 when we were involved in the United Pentecostal movement. And I have yet to find any other organization that teaches the truth like we do. We have the truth, saints. We know who Jesus is. Amen. He's not some other prophet. He is God manifest in the flesh. We know who he is. We know the salvation plan. We know what Peter said on the day of Pentecost. And we know the Acts of the Apostles full of it. You know, I was amazed how we missed it once we'd received the light. We know that we need to repent. Amen. We know that we need to be baptized in Jesus' name for the forgiveness of our sins. Amen. It's in the scriptures. And we know that we need to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It's in the scriptures, saints. Amen. You can't deny it. It's in the truth of God's word. Don't be hoodwinked by something else that's not there. Amen. Don't be hoodwinked by man's tradition. Man's tradition will destroy you. But the word of God and its truth, it will save you. And especially today, praise God. As we see the end come close, and it's only seconds to midnight, I believe, and we need to be ready to meet him. Because if we're not, we're going to miss out. We heard about the virgins when we were at camp, and I praise God for the camp. It was glorious to me. The preaching was superb. It was wonderful. And the teaching was wonderful. It was tremendous. I would come again, and I'm hoping that we can come every year if we can have a budget that'll work it. Amen. We'd like to come back. Praise God. And I'd bring Debbie with you. I must apologize to you as well, because I'm taking one of your saints away. And that's a problem to the church, I guess, over here. But it's going to be a blessing to the church in Australia. So I'm hoping that we can do something very worthwhile in Australia to be soul winners. Amen. Praise God. And this is what it's all about. Amen. Amen. Remember what that living word said. Where there is ignorance of God, the people run wild. Can you imagine it? And we see the people in general just running wild. They're totally doing their own thing. And it's a real ignorance of God. You have on your coinage, "In God we trust," and I wonder whether you can still leave it there with what's happening in this nation. Amen. We don't have that same privilege in Australia, but it's a problem. It's a real problem. And we have to stand against it and fight it. People are not born homosexual. They're not born that way. God created male and female. Amen. Praise God. Amen. He certainly didn't create Jim and Joe. It's not so. Amen. It's certainly a blessing. Amen. To be able to stand against the things that Satan is trying to bring in to our societies today. We're in the same boat in Australia. Things are not going well. Homosexual marriage is one thing, but we are not allowed to speak against the homosexual scene. And I never speak against the homosexual scene. The Bible does. Amen. Amen. I'm not speaking against it. We can open the word. At one time, there was a demonstration by the homosexual community, and we set up a table with an alternative right in amongst them. They said to me, "Where does the Bible say that, you know, we can't be homosexual?" I said, "Come on, I'll show you." "We're not coming over there." I said, "Okay, I'll come to you." Started going through the Word of God. "Have you had enough yet?" Yeah. It's such a sad scene. Such a sad scene. I mean, these are souls that God wants to save. You know, there's no sin that God can't forgive except the sin against the Spirit. And I believe that the sin against the Spirit of God is attributing the working of the Holy Spirit to the devil. And so many churches are doing just that today. Remember I said at the beginning, they thought we had horns on? Uh-huh. Yeah. It's not the first time that I've been told that, you know, it's of the devil. Speaking in tongues is of the devil. They don't read their Bibles. They just don't read their Bibles. And that's such a shame. Amen. Amen. And I thank God for his mighty blessing. Now, God wants to communicate with us. He wants to reveal himself to you and me. But can our vision of God be so big that it can start to restore the vision in our world? We need it that way, saints. We certainly need it that way. What a huge task we've got ahead of us as the Church of Jesus Christ. It's a huge task. Can we do it? Can we stand against the onslaught of the wicked one? We've got the power. Amen. Have you got the desire? need to start to restore the vision. Amen. Ask for a consecrated life. This is what it's going to take, saints. One given in obedience to Him. One that is willing to put God completely first. Let's pray that God will give us all a vision. In the biggest sense of the word, that will enable us to see beyond ourselves and enable us to see the things of God. Amen. Amen. What we need is a vision that allows for denial of self. A vision that will not make us introverted. You know, we can become so introverted that we're happy in our own little community, in our own little club, and we don't reach out. Yes, there are souls out there. When Sister Jenkins was pastoring, they were reaching out to the community. They would go up and down the main street talking to people and reaching out. Souls were won for the kingdom of God. And this is what it needs. We need to be mobile for Jesus Christ. The church I was attending did no outreach whatsoever. It's not what God wants. God wants us to reach out to our community. Amen. Remember, where there is no vision, the people perish. We see many people in this church. I see many empty seats. Saints, we can do it. Amen. We can do it. We can fill this church. Amen. 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 We need to be filling this church. Praise God. There are many souls out there that need the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There's many errors out there. Yet the word of God is the truth, and we need to abide by it. Amen. I'm thankful for this organization. I'm thankful for the blessing that this organization has brought to me. I'm thankful again for the Americans that have come to Australia to witness to us the truth of God's precious word. God drew me. He can draw others. Amen. I'm not someone special. I'm just a normal, run-of-the-mill human being. Lots of them out there, saints. There's lots of them out there. Amen. And they can all do a work for God. Amen. Amen. We just need to make ourselves available. He will fulfill His plans in us. God saved me from certain death a number of times. The devil tried to get rid of me. I didn't know why. The last thing I had, I thought I might have died, but God blessed me in saving my life when I smashed up very badly. I drove a motorcycle into the side of a pickup truck at 50 miles an hour and survived. God had His hand on me. He led us into fundraising for the mission field, as I've mentioned before. And I believe that it's for that purpose that God gave me a vision. The police department provided my income. If I had not been smashed, the police department would have hung on to me. But they felt that I was disabled, therefore they said goodbye and placed me on a pension for life. They believe that I struck a gold mine. Yes, I did. But that gold mine enabled me to do a mighty work for God. And I'm not trying to promote myself. I am just a humble, humble servant. Just an instrument in the hands of God. You too can be an instrument in the hand of God. Each and every one of you. Praise God. We need to follow after the truth of God's word. Follow the vision of God. our knowledge and consecration and communication, obedience, etc., etc., acceptance of his revealed truth is directly related to our vision in working for God. James said, you ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lusts. James 4:3. God will help us not to be self-centered, but let us be consecrated and God-centered. When Jesus called his disciples, it says, they left all. They left all. They just left the nets. They left the boats. They left all and followed him. We need be prepared to do just that. What if they'd been so self-centered and decided, oh, I've got to do this first, I've got to do that first? It wouldn't have worked. Well, they might have said, we haven't got time, we've got to get money, we've got to do this, we've got to do that, we've got to provide the evening meal, we've got to get our wages first and all this sort of thing. It wouldn't have worked. They followed Jesus immediately. What happened to faith today? Is our vision so limited we can only walk by sight? What we see and feel immediately rather than walking by faith. We need to walk by faith, not by feelings. Sometimes our feelings get hurt and we find that that affects our worship unto God. We need to worship him in spirit and in truth. Remember, where there is no vision, the people perish. Let's enlarge our vision to incorporate faith, self-denial, a compassion for the lost, and a love for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and his truth. That will enable us to say, as did Samuel, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Truth is an interesting thing. Pilate asked, what is truth? Now we know the word of God is truth. You know, Pilate never waited for an answer. He walked away. We can't walk away from truth. Amen. Truth doesn't change. Truth will always remain truth, regardless how you feel and how you think. Truth will always be the same. Bible teaches us to love the truth. Love the truth and sell it not. It's all tied up with a vision. John 17:17 gives us another inkling. We use that as our church logo. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. The only place that we can get sanctification is through the word. To be set apart for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. To be sanctified. Amen. This is what it's all about, saints. Amen. This is what it's all about. Truth. God calls us to love the truth and sell it not. Don't sell out to the world and its pleasures. Hang on to the truth of God's word. Amen. Praise God. Love the brethren and the sistren. We need to love the brethren. Love one another. Bible's full of it. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples. You're a disciple for Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Bible teaches that if you hate your brother, you're not a disciple. You've got to love people. Keep short accounts with God. If you've got a problem with one of the brethren, make short accounts. Go see him. Go talk to him and say, brother, I love you. This is what it needs, saints, that we can keep the love of the brethren so close to our hearts. And this is what it needs. And I thank my God for it. Love for each other is important. God's love provided us with salvation. The Bible teaches if we can't love a brother on this earth, then how have we got on into the kingdom of God? It's impossible. It's impossible. God provided a way of escape for us. He provided salvation. By dying on that cross of Calvary, we no longer have to push our sin ahead to the cross. Amen. His blood was shed so that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. I'm having an abundant life because I want to serve our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I love life. I mentioned to you that God has saved me from a number of accidents and things. But you know, God has healed me recently. I had an angiogram done. Two angiograms showed buildup in my arteries. One bad, but they couldn't get a stent around. It was difficult. I went for another angiogram about 6 months ago. I don't have cholesterol in my arteries. It's gone. I've had 5 heart attacks. You say, oh, Debbie, poor girl, he's going to kick off the planet any tick of the clock. No residual damage. Amen. It's a blessing, saints. So I might have a few years in me yet. Amen. But I thank God for that. 5 heart attacks, that doesn't come up too easy. You know, that's, you're likely to have major problems. And God has undertaken. I have diabetes, and yet when I get tested, I'm right on line with a normal person. Yes, I believe in doctors. Yes, they've got me on a few pills. And the doctors tell me if I keep on the pills, I'll never need the needles. And that's a blessing, saints. It's a blessing. God has been good to me. Oh, God has been so good to me. Even better now that Debbie said yes. Praise God. Amen. But there's nothing like the infilling of the Holy Ghost. We need to have the power of God working in our lives. And I thank God for it. Amen. Well, I've sort of pondered whether I ought to sing or not. I doubt very much whether the musicians could follow me anyway. I sing somewhere between the keys. I'm supposed to sing in C, but I'm somewhere around there for them to follow on. But I think I will attempt it, if you can put up with me. Can you put up with me? Amen. I mentioned this to Debbie once. So I was going to preach at her church, and I said, well, I've got a song that I'd like to sing. And I said, it's If You Could Own All the World and Its Money. She says, that doesn't sound like a very spiritual song to me. Well, I'm going to try and sing it again. Amen. If you could own all the world and its money, build castles tall enough to reach the sky above. But if you've not come face to face with Jesus and His saving grace, then you've known nothing until you've known God and His love. Until you've known the loving hand that reaches down to fallen man
and lifts him up from out of sin where he has trod. Until you've known just how it feels to know that God is really real, then you've known nothing until you've known the love of God. If in your lifetime you could meet everybody and you could call every name from here to yon, if you could know everything there was to know about life's game, then you've known nothing until you've known God and his love. Until you've known the loving hand that reaches down to a fallen man and lifts him up from out of sin where he has trod. Until you know just how it feels to know that God is really real, then you've known nothing until you've known the love of God. Until you've known the loving hand that reaches down to a fallen man and lifts him up from out of sin where he has trod. Until you've known just how it feels to know that God is really real, then you've known nothing until you've known the love of God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. We need to know the love of God, saints. And if you haven't accepted the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ into your life, you can today. You can repent of your sin. It means feeling sorry enough to quit the sinning business. It's that simple. Give your heart to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and avail yourselves of the baptismal tank and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. Amen. And receive the wonderful blessing of the Holy Ghost. This is the power that he gives us to survive in this world. And I thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for it. Pastor.